Have you ever come to camp meeting in all the years, Brother Lonnie's doing it, Brother Mike's doing it, and saw the messages line up? I'm telling you. Because what he preached, I'm going to follow up. When we were here, and what Brother Brian preached, I'm lining it. The night we got here, and I kept Lisa in the trailer, I wrote a whole PowerPoint for today. And the next day, when we was traveling, God changed it. Boom. And when I got here that night, I went, that's why. Yeah. The only thing I want to ask Brother Jamie Doyle is, you said when you were preaching that as soon as you sit down, the devil was going to follow you. Now, I'm following you. Turn to Genesis 3. Now I'm going to get serious. The Doyles are our good friends. We appreciate them. We appreciate coming to their church. And he let me come back. I preached on UFOs last year, and he let me come back. What was he thinking? But I appreciate Brother Mike and this camp meeting. Y'all are my best people in the whole world. Genesis chapter 3, and I want you to look at it. And we could preach 50,000 sermons out of Genesis 3, 1 through 5. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, let me tell you one thing that means. It means if you think you got the mark of the beast figured out, you don't. You don't. So cut it out. I know you don't have it figured out because I don't have it figured out. And I've told God, I better be the first one because I want to win that prize. Believe it or not, I had looked at the internet. I've been looking at the internet for years, seeing what everybody else is saying. And I can tell you, there is a contest on who can figure out what the mark of these guys think that if they get it right, then they're going to get some kind of prize. And I'm fixing to tell you how the internet works in case you don't know. I'm fixing to blow the whistle on it. But it means you ain't got Revelation figured out either. Yeah. I've been studying Bible prophecy since 1997 as a way of life, and I don't have it all figured out. And I know some churches that have it as their doctrinal statement. You have to believe such and such thing about Bible prophecy or you cannot be a member of their church. Right. Now, that's okay for them. That's fine. I love them. But I'm not going to join their church. Okay, because I don't think all the charts that have been made, Brother John, Sister Kathy, they gave me charts. I don't believe all them charts are right. Thank you. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you should not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you should not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, out of all the things that Genesis 1 through 3, or 1 through 5, means, and there's a bunch of things here, one of them is the devil knows how to mix truth and lies. Look at what he said. First thing out of his mouth, yea, if God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, God said something similar to that. And if you look over in Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 4, he did the same. See, the devil's only got one script. You want to figure him out, the script is here. He's a beast. He's just like your cow or your chicken or your dog. He's only got one way of thinking. And God wrote everything about him down in this book. And if you let somebody convince you that the devil's biggest plan in the world was to make everybody think the world was round, you fell for it. I'm talking to all the flat earth people because I've had to deal with them too. Look at Matthew chapter 4. I didn't hear a lot of people say amen on that. I don't know about this. Look at what he said. Verse 5. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, was he quoting scripture here? Yes. Jesus said unto him, "You old raggedy scamp, it is written again." Let me tell you what the other part of the Bible says. "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Amen. So what he did was he mixed truth with a lie. Eve fell for it. So did I. And so did you. Jesus is smarter than that. Better remember that. He is smarter than that. Now, all these symbols I got up here, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, pen, I'm going to get over here. I'm on all of these, except for Pinterest. I'm not really on there. So I've got YouTube videos. I tweet everything that I do, what I'm doing today. I tweeted it when we started the service. Then it goes to Facebook. Then it goes to our website. And then what I'm going to do today, I'm going to record it. I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'm going to put it on Twitter. I'm going to put it on YouTube. But on those platforms, some people, when the internet started back in the 90s, bunch of corporations that had been in business for years didn't know how to deal with it, didn't know how to handle it. Companies like Sears and Roebuck, where are they? They're gone because they didn't know how to deal with the internet. In fact, during the 90s, some guys were smart and they bought up internet names like Sears.com, Pepsi.com. They bought all those up so that when the companies came looking to put their name, they had to buy it from these guys who had already bought it. They were extorting these companies, and it took it to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court said, you can't do that. That's their property anyway. You had to give it back to them. So some of these companies came in way late. But then you had guys like Jeff Bezos, Amazon.com. Who's bought something from Amazon? Who's bought half the stuff you own in your house from Amazon? He figured it out. He ran his company in debt for the first several years, but became a billionaire. One of the richest men in the world. The guys that started YouTube figured it out. The guys that started Google figured it out. The guys that started Facebook figured it out. See, they figured out what the Bible says is the root of all evil. What is it? Love, not money. Love of money. It's the difference. I got money in my pocket. But it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. So they figured out they're going to put up these platforms. And let me tell you how the internet works. When you go to Facebook, cha-ching, somebody gets a bunch of money from it. Automatically, money trades hands. Because you logged on and your browser knows it, Google knows it, Facebook knows it, because they put stuff on your computer and your phone and your tablet that you're not aware of. And when you log on to any of those platforms, cha-ching, they make money. Then when you click on a story that somebody shared, cha-ching, they get money, plus somebody else gets money, like the website that owns the story. Or when you go to some of your favorite news websites, and I could name some, as soon as you go, cha-ching, they get paid. And every time you click a story, they get paid and somebody else gets paid. And I'm not talking about the big corporations. I'm talking about just guys in their house that know how to put up a website and know how to put stories out there. If you will notice, the vast majority of every website you've ever gone to has advertisements surrounding whatever story. In fact, sometimes it's hard to read the story because the stupid ads show up everywhere and you're going, "Where's the story at?" Okay? That means somebody just got a handful of money because you went there. They don't care if what they put out there is true or not. They just care that they talked you into going there. And then with the share button, they talked you in to spreading it. Like I probably spread whatever sickness I had here the other night. Oh. That's how it works. And then you emailed the story to somebody. Somebody got paid. And whether the story was true or not, somebody ended up believing probably the same lie that you did. That's how it works. And I know it. So I've studied it, been on the internet for years. I've read stories. I've shared stories. I've told about stories. And I've told lies doing it. God's dealt with me. I can't tell you the last time I went on somebody's news website. Because I just, Jamie, I gave it up. It is. And you were right. See, I've been dealing with anxiety and depression for the last several years. And I noticed when I went looking at certain stories, I'd almost have to go to the hospital over it. And then I quit. That's how it works. Who's behind it? Well, we know who's behind it. We just read who is behind mixing truth with lies. So part of what I'm going to say today is, why do we believe that this Bible is right and must be right in every word that it says? Because only God gives us 100% truth. Who is it that mixes truth with mistakes, errors, translation errors, transcription errors, manuscript errors? Who is it that does that? The devil. Who is it that never lied to Moses, never lied to Isaiah, never lied to the disciples, never lied to Paul, and has never lied to us? God is. He is the only one that gave his word correctly the first time, preserved every word of it throughout the centuries, and then had it translated correctly. And if I get time, I'm going to prove that to you. Now, take a look up here. What is that? They're digging up a giant skeleton. I found this picture back in the 90s, and I went, woo! Finally, proof that the giants were real. Now, do I need proof that the giants were real? I read it right here. But I thought, man, I really had something. And then I read an article that showed that a guy photoshopped this picture, and he showed the original, Brian, and that giant skeleton wasn't in there. And I went, I didn't know anybody could do that. That's a lie. Some of you went, oh, I sent that picture out. Or you sent one like it. I've never seen a genuine picture of a giant skeleton. I know that all through American history they found them. Send them to the Smithsonian. Smithsonian's got them somewhere. I don't know. That's what I've heard. But I don't need that to believe that book, do I? Now, truth and consequences. Matthew 5:13. You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? So Jesus said, it is thenceforth what? Read those words out loud. What are most of the churches? We went down 65 to Jacksonville, got off at Conway, 40 over and went up to Jacksonville, and I must have passed 1,000 churches down that highway. How many of them are good for nothing? There's churches in this whole county, aren't there? Everywhere, and yet you couldn't keep this county a dry county. What does that tell you? That a lot of the people who went to church on Sunday got tired of driving all the way up to Missouri State Line to the liquor superstore and voted it in behind their pastors, or maybe their pastor helped them do it. They're good for nothing. So here's things the internet lied about. Y2K. The internet lied about Y2K and all the computers shutting down and the tribulation starting, the world coming to the end. 2012, the internet lied about 2012. Books were written in Christian bookstores about 2012. 2012 was supposed to be the end of the world, and the start of the tribulation. Never happened. Petrus Romanus, some of you don't know about that. I move on. Flat Earth. I've been looking at Flat Earth. I couldn't believe that they actually have they put on $50,000-$60,000 conferences around the globe to prove the Flat Earth. And I actually had a guy that came to me and he said, Mike, you brought me out of that. I was in it. I put videos out and he said, I watched what you said about it and how it was impossible according to the King James Bible for the earth to be flat. And he said, I come out and he said, I know they were lying. I knew them and I knew they were lying. Why did these guys keep putting these videos on YouTube about how the earth was flat? Why? They got paid. You don't know this, but you can monetize a video you put on YouTube. I don't. I never have. I can. I don't want to. I don't want that tainting what I might say. But you can monetize a video. And the more views you get, YouTube shares in their ad revenue. And there are guys who quit their jobs to make YouTube videos. including some flat earth people. They were lying through their teeth. The Mandela effect, you ever heard of that? How CERN opened up a porthole, went back in time, and changed the timeline that we're in so that the Berenstain Bears are actually the Berenstain Bears now. And that Nelson Mandela died in prison, but he didn't really die in prison. In our timeline, he got out of prison, became prime minister of South Africa. But they said in a different timeline, Nelson Mandela died in prison. Somebody must have went back and changed time. And there are even people who said, and there were people writing me this. This is how I studied it. They said, uh-oh, somebody went back and changed words out of the King James Bible. I said, it's not possible. It's not possible to change God's word. Amen. God said it's incorruptible. Yeah. And so I knew that wasn't true. Yeah. But I had to, these are issues that as a watchman, I had to deal with people who were scared out of their mind because this was on the internet. Obamacare, who remembers this? In 2011, it went out that because of Obamacare, everybody was going to receive a mandatory implantable electronic device in their bodies, mandatory March 2011. Who's got theirs? Raise your hand. I don't either. And I got fed this stuff. I went and read the significant portion of the Obamacare healthcare bill. It never said anything like that, but people read it into it. And I had people quit our ministry because I said it's not true. COVID is not a real virus. I had it. It wiped out 26 people out of our church. I didn't stand behind a pulpit for 3 weeks. One man died. My father-in-law had his lungs destroyed. He spent 7 weeks in the hospital. I went to him to have the death talk as his pastor. Do you want to die or not? And I think God talked him out of it. They sent him home in hospice, and he decided, I ain't dying. So they put him on home care. And he came back to church 3 weeks ago. Amen. I said, them old guys that are still tough. Amen. I'm not going to whip him. Don't let anybody tell you it's not a real virus. I've never been that sick. I wasn't that sick yesterday. But I was 10 times as worse than that for 3 solid weeks. I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to lose my mind. I have memory problems because of it. Pastor sent me a thing yesterday, proven fact. COVID fog is real. I did a watchman a couple weeks ago. That is not in my mind. I did not know I did it. I told my wife, I said, I got to go down to my studio and record. She said, you just did. And I argued with her. No, I didn't. I'm not done with the script. Pulled up my computer. I had it imported into my editing software. And I don't remember going down there, Mike. And that's just one of several things. I put the tags on my father-in-law's truck. Had no idea I did. I thought I lost them. I went out and looked. They're on the truck. Don't tell me it ain't real. Oh, how about this one? Our United States of America would be on mandatory martial law lockdown. That was last year. Did it happen? And that Trump was going to use the military to force everybody to take the COVID vaccine. Where's Donald Trump right now? Florida. I saw his picture the other day. COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast, and we don't know it. That is a lie. And I had people leave our church over it. Because I told them it's a lie. You don't know what the mark of the beast is, so how can you know that this is? And I could take you to videos where guys are blatantly saying COVID vaccine is mark of the beast. It's not. It's a lie. Now, I don't trust it. I know some people have had it. Fine. Nothing wrong with them. I know some people, I know a guy, deputy in our county, had it, almost killed him. He's got a lawsuit, okay? I don't trust it, but it ain't the mark of the beast. Calm down. Now, turn to 1 Kings 13. There's a story here. For time's sake, I'm not going to be able to read the whole story. I did part of this at Brother Jamie's church. I have it on video. John, we got to get the box. Did you get the box out of the van? Go get the box. I got videos for you. Woo! I've just got done doing 6 videos on the Catholic Eucharist. That is poison. And it's not just the Catholics that buy into that. Lutherans, Presbyterians, a lot of your mainline denominations believe almost identical doctrine. It's deadly poison. God said, actually, don't put it in your mouth. And I'll show you that on video. 1 Kings 13, there's a story here. God sent a prophet, you may know this story, to Jeroboam to tell him God's going to raise up Josiah. He later on did. That part's true. The prophet was a young prophet, so we know he started out good. You listen. He started out good. He tells Jeroboam exactly what God tells him to tell him. God, on the way back, told him, now, on your way back, don't go back the way you came, and don't stop at nobody's house to eat their, what are we having today, catfish and cornbread and beans. Don't stop at nobody's house. So, starting in verse 11, there dwelt an old prophet there in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king. Them they also told their father, and their father said unto them, what way went he? And for his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. And he said unto him, come home with me, and eat bread, and biscuits, and cornbread, and catfish, and beans, and fried taters, and onions. Amen. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me, by what? What is the word of the Lord now? If the Bible told you one thing, and some guy on the internet told you something else, who are you going to believe? You're saying that, but you didn't do it. I know you didn't do it. I didn't do it. And my nature is exactly the same as yours. I came from the same dirt you came out of. I was born in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. So don't take me long coming down here to start saying y'all and how y'all doing. I pick it up easy when I come back down here because it's in my DNA. It was said unto me by the word of the Lord, thou should eat no bread. Verse 18, he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. You watch out for that. And an angel spoke unto me. What did Paul say? Though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. God sent this old prophet there to trap this young man. See what, as a test, to see what he would do. In Deuteronomy 13, God told the Israelites, watch these guys that come out, dreams and visions, or show you a sign or a wonder. And he said, I'm the Lord. I'm proving whether you're going to walk after them or you're going to walk after me. Your faith is, because we're saved by grace through, and I'm telling you, your faith is going to be tried pert near every day you're alive on this earth. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also as thou art. Angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him, so he went back with him and eat bread in his house and drank water. The result is he got ate by a lion. Who's the lion? Well, let's see about this for a minute. We have the lion of the tribe of Judah in Revelation 5. And we have the roaring lion who devours, which is Satan. How in the world will we know which one is which? You better learn this book. You better believe it. Matthew chapter 7, beware of false prophets which come to you how? Well, that website, Pastor Mike, you're talking about, it's a Christian website. See, I told you, I pick it up pretty easy. How do you know the guy who put it out there? Did you go visit him, talk to him about the Lord? You ask him what Bible he used. You know what church he goes to? Chances are he doesn't. You don't know. And if you don't trust it, why did you tell somebody else about it? Be not deceived. Evil communications, corrupt. But if Daniel 2, but if you will not make known unto me the dream. Nebuchadnezzar figured out his soothsayers and his astrologers and his Chaldeans. He figured them out real quick, didn't he? There is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me. And I'm telling you, the devil has you set up. Every day, his job is to do one thing, and that is to trap you, trick you, deceive you until you fall. And he's not going to let up. Proverbs, let me just read some scriptures. Proverbs 25:26, a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. Psalm 73:8, they are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression that speak loftily. Now, these next verses is going to have one word in it. This is how I study the Bible. Corrupt or corruption or corruptors or corrupt, any type of corruption is what you're going to see on the screen. Now, that young prophet that went to Jeroboam, was he right at that point? Yes. God told him the words to say, and he went and said them. And then God told him, don't stop. Don't go back the way you came. Don't stop and eat bread. Don't drink water. Go. God told him all that, and then another man came and corrupted those words. And he believed it. So how many preachers have fallen? How many church people have fallen? We can have an altar full of people, one service, and a year later they're shacking up with somebody. It's happened at our church. Guys that said, amen, Mike. Amen. Boy, I like that old Bible. Mike, I like that preaching. Shacking up with a gal next year. I'm telling you, corruption. If you had seen me yesterday, you know about corruption. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. Jeremiah 6, they are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. 1 Corinthians 15, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's corrupt. This body, our body's not going anywhere. It's already condemned and going to the grave. For all that my uncle did in World War II, saved our country. They put him in the ground yesterday. Neither doth corruption inherit. There, be careful. For 2 Corinthians 2, for we are not as many which corrupt what? But you do when you tell lies along with this. And I've done it. But as I've got, already in Paul's day, they were corrupting the Bible. 2 Corinthians 7, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. That's what Paul said. We've defrauded no man. Ephesians 4, look at this verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister what? And all you did on Facebook when you shared the story or emailed it or liked it or tweeted it or what, all you did was scare somebody. The end of the world is coming. They're going to put the mark of the beast in our soup and we won't know it. And people got scared and they wrote me. Perverse disputings, men of corrupt, because some preachers just have corrupt minds. And destitute of the truth. That means they wouldn't believe the Bible if it hit them. Supposing that gain is godliness. Now let me tell you what that means. Brother, so good to see you at camp meeting this year. How's your church doing? Now why do we ask that question? Maybe we actually care because we've been to that church. Or for me, years ago, 9 times out of 10, it was when my church was going well, I wanted to see if the other guy was having problems. That way I could say, well, boy, the Lord's really blessing us. We've had 10 saved. Well, we've had members. Because I thought gain years ago, Mike, when you didn't like me. And I didn't like you either. Because I thought gain was godliness. That's why I was doing what I was doing. And isn't that a lot of the free will Baptist preachers that you know? From such, do what? Stay away from them. Now, I got something I'm going to show you here in a little bit, and I'm going to be sensitive about it, but I have to say it. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. They don't really believe the Bible. They may have started out at one time believing the Bible, but the devil had a setup for them down the road, like he did me. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. 1 Peter 1, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. How can you be saved if your Bible's corrupt? How can you be saved reading stuff on the internet? So instead of sharing the good news, you shared the fake news. See what you did? See the difference? All that time spent on the internet and everything that you shared, you never shared the gospel. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men. You know what that means? Who got a quarter? I got a quarter. Anybody got a quarter? I was going to steal yours, but I think I got my own. It was a penny. So... No, that's all right. I don't want to touch you. I'll make you vomit. So I can just do that to little kids and go, blow on that. Oh, look at there. And I reach behind the ear and pull it out. I learned that trick years ago. Magic tricks fascinated me. I used to watch David Copperfield and try to figure out how he walked through the wall of China, how he made the plane disappear. I used to watch all that stuff. Rewind the tape. It's just real simple. You just drop it in your hand like that. But see, I fooled you. I know the trick. And if I'm on the internet making money, I know how to deceive you easy. Because we're not as smart as we think we are. We're not as discerning as we think we are. Not when we're out of there. Be no children tossed for intro by the sleight of men. That's what that means. Cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I told you, you were going to be set up. But you're forgers of lies. You're all physicians of no value. I got a fan on me right now because you remember I was electrocuted 2006 and the side effects are still there. My face, I was surprised when they took my temperature, it doesn't read hot because it is hot all the time. I'm back there sweating like crazy and it's because of the nerve damage. And I used to take a medicine, name brand, before I'd preach, I'd take it right before I preach and calm it down. I wouldn't sweat, Mike. Then my insurance company decided to start giving me the Chinese junk version of it. And the real version of it cost $500 a month. And I started taking the Chinese junk version of it. That's what that means, physicians of no value. I got medicine that I'm supposed to take that does me no good whatsoever. Why take it? Here's your medicine. All that other stuff does you no good whatsoever, does it? He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. That means you won't put that garbage on your phone, your tablet, your computer, nothing. You won't do it. It will not dwell in my house. That Bible's right. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. Proverbs 6. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that say, I'm against abortion. Good, but where are you on this list? And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. That is 99. I'm not saying there's no truth on the internet. I'm saying the devil is so good about mixing the truth with lies. How are you going to know the difference? I mean, I can look at something and say, that's baloney, that's garbage, that's not. Because I know that in most cases, I know what that Bible says. And it automatically, the Holy Ghost will pull it out and tell you, that's a lie. Don't you fall for that. But you got to be in this. Hasn't every preacher this week told you, you better read your Bible, better get in the Bible, better get it. Did not Jamie say it? Did not Brian Bowerman say it? Yeah. Get in the Word. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet to be swift and running to mischief. A false witness. A witness. Think of a courtroom. And you were one of OJ's witnesses that said, the glove didn't fit. He couldn't have done it. And then he turned around and wrote a book. I did it. The author of that book, Mike, said, it dawned on me as I'm writing this book for him, he killed his wife and killed that other guy. Slaughtered him. But a witness said he didn't do it, so the jury believed it. A false witness that speaketh lies means that you aligned yourself with a liar and retold the lie, is what that means. And God said, I hate what you did. And if you think God ain't going to punish you for it, then there's a name for you that I'm going to put up on screen in a little bit. And you're probably not going to like it, but I'm going to put it up there anyway. It's in the Bible. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A true witness delivers souls. Think about that. But a deceitful witness speaketh lies. A false witness shall not be. And he that speaketh lies shall not escape. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall perish. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man. Look at what he said. How many times the Bible say, be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. For man, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. That is the Catholic Eucharist, by the way. That priest holds that up, says, hoc est corpus meum. It is where they get the word hocus pocus from. I'm not kidding you. In hoc est corpus meum, which means in Latin, this is my body. He holds that up and says, this is Christ. Bow. And you got billions of people all over the world bowing to it. That's a setup. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Let a man deceive himself. 1 Corinthians said, be not deceived. Evil communications. Already read that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Ephesians 4, that we henceforth be no more children. Already read that verse. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. This is why God's going to send billions of people to hell, because they believed the lies that they were told. Adam was not deceived, but the woman. And you know who most of my emails come from? You want to take a guess so I don't have to say it and you shoot me? Because I know I'm in Arkansas. Mostly women who get scared to death. Some of them can't discern their right hand from their left. I'm not trying to be mean. But there's a reason why that everybody who wrote this book was a man. There's a reason why all the apostles were men. And there is a reason why that all the bishops are to be men. There's a reason. I'm just the message guy. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a sign of the times. That's a sign of the times we're in. You see it now? For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, Jewish doctrines coming into the church. I've seen it. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth, you can believe your own lies. Like that deer story. Or the fish one. Whatever you do, the golf one, whatever you do, you believe the story. The deer got bigger, the fish got larger, took you an hour to bring it in, whatever. You can deceive your own heart and believe your own lies. I've done it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thine. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand to the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Keep thee far from a false matter. And the innocent and righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked, God said. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. When you get to the point, Brother Jamie, you said it. I preached it at your church. I myself got caught up in it. When you get to the point that you turn back to your Bible, instead of the internet, instead of the nightly news, instead of the newspaper, you know that God's moving and working in your life. A false witness shall not be unpunished. A false witness shall not be unpunished. And he that speaketh lies shall perish. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving, being deceived. Some of these are rehashing. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2. Let's see what all this is about. Where is it going? Where is it headed? What's the end game? What's the devil seeking after? What is God going to let the devil do? Isn't that how it works? The devil don't do it unless God lets him do it. And if you fell for it, God lets you fall for it to spank you to teach you the lesson. Don't fall for that stuff no more. But if God hadn't spanked you, see, I have a problem saying that word because I used to get my mouth washed out with soap by a mama who cared. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. Jamie, I'm telling you, that's exactly what he just preached. Because I deal with it. Anxiety, it makes you nuts. That you be soon not shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Remember that false prophet that said, I'm a prophet just like you are. Brother, we're all in the same denomination. Aren't we all shooting for the same thing? Let no man deceive you by how many means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling. Well, you better read your Bible. If you got your end time stuff mixed up and out of order, read your Bible. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Somebody's going to fall for it. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. You know, when he says that the man of sin will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God, is not this Bible called God? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So when a preacher, like I used to, stand behind a pulpit and exalt himself and his knowledge of Greek, Hebrew nonsense above the Word of God, he's an antichrist. God had me on the other side for a reason, I'm telling you. Let's look at verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. The brightness of his coming, Revelation 19, brightness of his coming is this book. You can run the devil off by just opening up this book and reading it and believing it. You can scare every devil you got off of you. They can't, like cockroaches and mice. You turn the light on, and that's what will happen to a good church. Jamie, Mike, when you turn the light on, you scatter them. You get them out. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying on all power. That means the devil's got more power over your mind than you've got over your mind. Doesn't he? Doesn't he? You just preached it. To get the thoughts back here in the back. I was listening back there. The thoughts come in the back of your mind. The devil making you think things that are not real, that are not true. Telling you, do this, it'll be okay. He's lying through his teeth to you. All power. He's got more power over your mind than you do. But this has more power over him. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Now, I consider flat earth to be the dumbest delusion in all of internet world. Mandela effects, close second. Voting for Joe Biden, close third. That's why your gas went up. Don't give me that nonsense. But I was amazed at the number of people that fell for it. That was a weak, weak, silly, and it's pretty much past. The strong delusion yet to come. And I guarantee you, the devil's going to do things that's going to blow your mind. You're going to see signs and wonders and things in the heavens that you said ain't possible, don't exist, never happen, it won't. And I know somebody here who has it on good knowledge that it does. And I'm not going to say it. It's told me in private. But I'm telling you, the big lie's coming. And if our church people don't get in the truth, they're going to fall. Every one of them. So how will the deception occur? First Kings. Turn to First Kings. This is Ahab. This is a good lesson to learn how the devil controls the internet, the news, and the pulpits. 1 Kings 22, Ahab, God's going to deliver him to die. So they clean the blood out in the exact place where Naboth was slaughtered. Because God said, God's going to work it all out to his glory and his will and his honor. So he's setting Ahab up to go to war. And who is it? Jehoshaphat? Same Jehoshaphat that you just preached on says, Ahab's got 400 preachers that all said the exact same thing. And see, with some of us, we accept that as truth. Well, everybody's saying it's this way. I must believe it. But if everybody's saying it this way and God says it a different way, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's all there is to it. It's all I need to know. You're wrong. I'm wrong. So Ahab said, there you go, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat said, ain't you got somebody that knows how to preach? And here comes Micaiah. And this is what he said. Hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. I think the right hand are the good angels. The left hand are the evil ones. If you look at the sheep and the goats, where are the sheep? Where are the goats? So that's kind of why I think that's there. He's telling you, he's surrounded by every angel, good one and bad. Who's in charge of all of them? You don't believe old Roberts, do you? Oh, God's the biggest loser on the earth. God let Satan have control over this earth. That's a lie. Amen. So, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead, and one said on this manner and another? See, he's got a whole bunch of them lying. And there came forth the Spirit and said before the Lord, it said, I will persuade him. The Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth. And I have this underlined, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his preachers. All of his denominations. All of his Christian bookstores. All of his Christian radio stations. All of his Christian websites. Everybody I know that's on Facebook that says they're a Christian, I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of every single one of them. To cause, what's Ahab supposed to do at Ramoth-Gilead? What's that word? That word's there for a reason. It's to connect you to everything else in the Bible that falls. Dagon, Babylon, how art thou fallen from heaven, O? And church members. That word fall is there for a reason. It's to attach you to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the falling away. That's why God put this Bible, how much time have I got? That's why God put this Bible out of three different languages into one. Because the rules are, I'm going to jump ahead of my notes. The rules in 1 Corinthians 14 are, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most three. And let one interpret. One. Well, pastor of so-and-so Free Will Baptist Church says, I like to get all the translations out in front of me. That way I know what God's really saying. But what about this one when it contradicts, or you can't even find the verse that's in this one that's not in the NIV? What'd God say there? Did God say, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one? Did God say that? They can't preach that because it ain't in their Bibles. You show me another, I'm getting off my notes here. You show me another verse in the Bible that proves the Godhead, the three in that three are actually one. Show me another verse in the whole Bible. There ain't one. They took the one that said it in no uncertain terms, in plain English, out. The guy down, I was preaching down in southern Missouri. A guy jumped me about the King James, and I thought I was going to get him, Mike. I said, you mean to tell me that you believe that you can take prayer and fasting out of the Bible the way? And he, you know what he told me? That verse was never meant to be in the Bible, and the King James is in error. I thought I was going to beat him. He had already accepted the lie. I just walked away then. Because I'm not going to debate. If you already believe that way, maybe I'll see you one of these days. Maybe God will change you like he did me. I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. See, God's allowing it. Because your faith, 1 Peter said, twice was going to be on trial. What kind of a trial? Fiery trial. That's the worst kind. Look up the word pastors in the King James Bible. I did 4 days ago, and I went, and he spoke against him like he did here. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. What's the vineyard? It's many things. Vineyard can be your family. See, vineyard is a vine. It looks like DNA, doesn't it? So your vineyard could be your family. Let me ask some of you older folks, has not a pastor destroyed what your grandchildren now believe? Do some of you who have grandchildren who are going to an NIV church or one of these rock and roll churches or these coffee shop churches or no church? See, the Bible's right, isn't it? Who destroyed it? Pastors did. Vineyard's a church. Jesus said, I'm the vine. You know the branches? Naboth was not allowed to sell his vineyard or give it away. So Jezebel, you want to know who Mystery Babylon is? She's the one who gets all the stuff and hands it to Satan. Satan's Ahab. That's her role in the Bible. It's her whole job is to steal it and hand it to him. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. What did Jesus say about the good-for-nothing churches? That they're to be trodden under the foot of men. Why, Jamie? I was listening. Why are they taking all of our rights away? Because many pastors won't stand up for them. They won't preach the truth. They won't preach what God said. And our churches are so corrupt. That's why our nation's corrupt. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. I'm going to show you what happens in a wilderness. They have made it desolate. Being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Nobody thinks about what they're doing anymore. Prove all things. You see it on the internet and you can't prove it in the Word of God, don't you dare believe it. Don't you dare believe it. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. We have made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I got to move on. Now, I'll give you a little lesson here. Back in Genesis 3, the devil did three things. Yea, as God said. Number one, question the authenticity of God's word. Is this really every word of God? Is it really? Now, some of you are King James, been King James all your life. I wasn't. Well, I started out that way. Grew up King James, had strong King James pastor, now going on to be with the Lord. But I went to 3 years at two different Bible colleges. And now I don't believe the Bible's the inspired word of God anymore. I believe it's got errors and mistakes in it. I was told to read the Greek and Hebrew and change it. So I, guilty, number one, yea, as God said. And I said, nope. I got 3 years of Bible college in me. No. God didn't say all of this. Number two, contradict God's word, which I did. Ye shall not surely die. Number three, replace God's word. He's actually started a new religion when he said, for God doth know. He made it sound like it's from God, but it wasn't. So that's his modus operandi. I told you, he's got one script. That's the only thing he knows how to do. He did it to Eve. Eve failed. That's us. Christ, he did the same thing to Christ. He didn't fail. That's why we rely on him. Not us. Now, I'm going to try. Boy, I'm getting tired. I'm going to try to move through some of this. You know the story. The enemy sowed them is the devil. This is the wheat and the tares. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Who are the tares? Well, it's not the races that you don't like. It's everybody that lost and don't believe the Bible. You're the child of the devil. That's who you are. You were conceived in Eve. You're a child of the devil. Right. Okay? The enemy that sold them is the devil. So we know that every lie cometh from him. The harvest is where? The end of the world. The reapers are the angels. Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned in the fire. Where do they go? Where do the tares go? Do we not believe? Do we not know what that is? That, amen. Lake of fire, hell. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and they shall gather out of his kingdom. So what was the order we saw in 2 Thessalonians 2? The falling away comes first, and that man's sin be revealed. Then, so the falling away comes first. And look at the order here. They shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. That comes first. And shall cast them in the furnace of fire. There should be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then is an English word that says, before this happens. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So I've done this here before. I got a picture of wheat and tares on the screen and a picture of two Bibles. Which one of them is the Word of God? Which one of them is the wheat? Which one of them is the tares? If you've seen this, you already know which one it is. So, and what happens at harvest? That's why the Lord said at harvest, you wait till the harvest. Because the wheat is green while it's growing. But when it's time for harvest, is always transformation. That's our rapture. When the wheat is ready for harvest, the farmers know it because it did what? Change colors. It turned to the same color as the sun. The tares are called poison darnel. That's what their real name is. That's what we call them. That's what people call them now. Poison darnel. And it's called poison darnel because, number one, it looks like wheat, but it's not wheat. Number two, it has a fungus that only grows on tares. And that fungus, number one, is an intoxicant, which messes up your mind. And then number two, it's a poison that kills you. And the only way to know it is to wait till harvest. Because at harvest time, the wheat turns golden like the sun. They shall shine forth as the sun. And in the harvest, the tares turn black. Now you think Jesus and God ain't smart when he created everything? He lets you know that by their fruits, you shall know them. Didn't he? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into fire, whereby but their fruits ye shall know them. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, it is not possible to corrupt God's real word. I was starting to tell you this. I went to Bible college. They told me the Bible's all messed up. Do you know what it took to get me back? Number one, grace. If God brought you out of something, that's grace, pure and simple. Don't brag on it. Number two, I asked God, God, I believe what you said. Brother Lonnie, you remember the first time you had me in here, Brother Reg here? Brother Reg preached that message about, I don't remember what it was called, but he said, I'm going to have everybody who believes the King James Bible stand up. And I jumped up out of my seat. Let me tell you why. I was still in my mind, not 100% sure, but I was scared of Reg Kelly. I jumped up. I don't want him to know who I am. He remembered that. He's preached on that before. But you know what really brought me back? Not the internet. I asked God, show me in this book how I can know it is 100% dead on correct, not one error in it. And I can run through the whole thing if you want me to. Every verse, every scripture, every point of doctrine that I believe came right out of this book. It's there. It's not corruptible. You can't corrupt it. So is there a difference in the Bibles? I'm doing this. Consider this. Let's rehash this. Okay? For their rock is not as our rock. Notice the difference even in the spelling. Their rock, little r, little rock. Arkansas. Capital R. King James translators knew that. They knew the difference. Even our enemies themselves being judges, for their vine is a vine of what? So what can we expect the fruit to be? The fruit of Sodom. That's right. So, and at the fields of Gomorrah, their grapes are grapes of gall. I can tell you that all that brings is bitterness. Because that's all it brought me. And I'm going to prove it. How bitter them of the Bibles turn out. Their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom. Genesis 3, everything that Satan did came right out of his mouth, didn't it? And that's where God put his poison, isn't it? He did that for a reason. Poison in the Bible is a picture of false doctrine, false Bibles, false teaching, false prophets, false churches, you name it. Everything on the internet that's false, it's serpent's poison. So a guy who devotes his life to false Bibles, what wine's he drinking? And then what's going to be the fruit of it? Whereas Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He throws it in hell. See, you're either going to bear rotten fruit or you're going to bear no fruit. Both of them get you cast into hell, doesn't it? You must bear good fruit and you must bear it, not produce it. That's a lesson I learned. Because the mistake I was making, Mike, when you didn't like me and I didn't like you, was I thought I had to build that church, that it was me. And God whooped me. Said, if you think that, I'll throw you out of here. I'll bring somebody in here that doesn't think that. And I begged God's mercy. You pray, I'm just going to say this as a picture of what God has done. Michael, and my wife said, don't say this, but he's been on Kenya television. I'm pretty sure everybody knows it by now. He's in Kenya. And we're right now feeding 1,200 more people. They featured him on Kenya television day before yesterday. That's like CNN in Kenya. They drove all the way out there, and Michael's on there, and his, who's it? Kister is his cousin. They interviewed her, and it's all in Swahili, but I heard Bethel and Mike Hoggard in there. When God said, Mike, you let me worry about how big your church is, I had no idea. So I don't take credit for that. Because Michael aggravated me to death. This is a radio station in Kenya. Get away from me. I don't want to do that. And his grandma called, Mike. His grandma's godly. If she says, I heard from God, she heard from God. She called him that day. She said, Michael, I don't know what's going on, but God has told me that you're going to receive your blessing today. And he came in and asked me one more time. I said, Michael, do it. Get it out of my face. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to run it either. I ain't got time for it. He's run that thing. Now we have two of them. The Catholic Church hates us so bad. They came to our radio station and said, get that guy off the radio. They said, well, he owns the station. Can't throw him out. So then they bribed the landowner of the office we was in, throwed us out of our office, broke our lease, threw us out of our office, said, Catholic Church said, we need that to store food. They're not giving food out in Turkana. They have millions of dollars more than I do. Millions of dollars. They ain't fed nobody yet. That's what God says, I will make you fruitful. If you'll just believe this book, you won't have to worry about souls being saved. God will take care of that for you. You believe that? All right, let's move on. So we have the pure vine. We have the corrupt vine. It's the same picture, isn't it? Because we don't know. I'm going to knock that down. We don't know yet. So we have to look into it. That's the corrupt vine. The Vatican. The word Vatican's in that first word. That ought to tell you something right then and there. That's corrupt. Everything the Vatican has produced is corrupt. It stinks to high heaven. It's no good. And they, I showed you the picture a couple years ago. In the Bible Greek New Testament committee was a Jesuit priest who almost got voted in to be Pope when Francis got it. He was close second. And he was a sodomite liberal. Maybe the one we have now is. Who knows? That's corrupt. Now, from these came the Latin Vulgate, 600 AD. And it was the only Bible allowed for nearly 1,000 years in any church. So the real Christians had to take the copies they had and hide them. They had to keep out of the reaches of the Vatican because they were looking to destroy all of the other manuscripts and anybody who had them. And you know that for years, the Catholic Church read everything and said everything in what language? Latin. Who knew Latin? Nobody. The priest did. That's it. So it took, I'll get to Tyndale in a minute. Meanwhile, copies were being made in the early church in Greek. Over 5,000 still exist today. Around 150 AD, you had these manuscripts being translated. Number one, the Peshitta, which is Syriac. Number two, the Old Latin, the Italic Bible, the Gothic Bible. All of these being translated 150 years after Christ. God's already translating the pure vine into the language that they spoke on the day of Pentecost. Do you understand that? God speaks languages. That's the Peshitta there. That's the Gothic Bible. By the way, the Gothic Bible has the verses that the other Bibles took out. 150 AD. Then, along with this, you have the testimony of over 86,000 early church citations in their writings, epistles, prayer books, pulpit. See, they didn't bring out a big scroll and lay it on the pulpit. Scribes, when a pastor would preach, scribes would write and copy the verses onto a book that was to go on the podium for the bishop to read. And we have nearly 86,000 of those, and they agree with the King James line of manuscripts. We're not making this stuff up out of our head. It's true. But I didn't believe it. So by 500, the church had access to over 500 different translations of either part or all of the Bible. This is the year 905, the Anglo-Saxon of the New Testament. 1384, John Wycliffe. And by the way, when they tell you, well, you can't read the original King James, this is 1384. Watch what I do. I got to get up close to it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and God was the Word. This was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. That's what it says. That is 99% close to what your King James says. But it's all there. That's, what year was that? 1384? And I had a Bible college kid tell me, you can't read the original King James. Liar. See, I believed it. I heard Dr. Piccarelli at the National Association say, if you say you believe the King James, what King James do you believe? Do you believe the 1611 King James or the 1729 King James? Because they're different. And I went, yeah, you idiots. That's so wrong. 1522, Luther's Bible. All out of the same manuscript line. 1526, Tyndale, let me read this one to you. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the sanctified, or the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to them which believe on Jesus Christ. And they tell you, you can't read it. Coverdale's Bible, 1535, same manuscript line. Geneva Bible, 1560, same manuscript line. There is no fear in love, but perfect love calleth out, or casteth out fear. That's what it says. And then here's the 1568 Bishop's Bible. And so what you had, the Bishop's Bible was the Anglican Bible, Church of England. Losing my mind here. The Geneva Bible was the Puritan Bible. And they didn't like each other. They hated each other. Kind of like us real Baptists. Okay? God put in King James of England's heart, I want a united kingdom, and I want one Bible. The problem with the Geneva Bible was it was full of Puritan fallacies. They actually added to Ephesians 6, where it says principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spirit, they actually added a phrase in there, earthly thrones, or something like that. because they hated kings. They added to the Word of God in the Geneva Bible, Mike. King James said, that ain't right. It ain't the Word of God. So let's get Puritan scholars, Church of England scholars, 54 of them that we know of, plus when they ran into a real problem of translation, they couldn't agree, they sent out to all the divines, they called them, and all the scholars in England, asked them their opinion on certain verses, and they collaborated. They kept it open. And as one group translated one set, like, I don't know, the Pauline epistles, when they got done with their translation, they sent it to the other group. The other group oversaw, so, you know, it was pure, 1604 to 1611. How many years is that? Purified seven times. By the way, here's the 1611. Here's the 1611 King James Bible. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, read it with me. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Same Bible. Now, making a point here. In 1850, the American Bible Society, you can find this book on Google Books. Go to books.google.com, and I'll give you enough time to write this down if you want to. It's called The History and Recent Collation of the English Version of the Bible. You write that down, go to books.google.com, type that in, download this, or you read it online. In 1850, they said, we're hearing that the Bible, the King James we have, the Bible in 1850, all they had was the King James, is different than the 1611. We want to know if it's true. So they investigated it. Here's what they wrote. The English Bible, as left by the translators, has come down to us unaltered in respect to its text, except in changes of orthography, which that's spelling, for you hillbillies, which the whole English language has undergone, to which the version has naturally and properly been conformed. In other words, we changed the spelling. Obviously, they changed the spelling. Faith cometh by hearing. Not spelling. Aren't some of y'all glad that you don't have to spell right to go to heaven? And accepting also the slight variation and discrepancies which in so long an interval must necessarily arise by reason of human imperfection. What that means is when the printers, the stationer they called it, got the text, they had it in script. And the stationer had to take the translator's copy, read it, take letters and put them on a board backwards. Put all those letters together, turn it over, and print a page. And there's one famous edition of this King James called the Adulterer's Bible because it left the word not out of thou shalt not commit adultery. The printer made an error. Dr. Piccirilli lied to me. Now, I'm going to be... try to be decent and sensitive. But you have to know what's going on around you. Yeah. To some extent. These are two youth pastors. A pastor up in Minnesota sent me this. These are two youth pastors. Presbyterian church. They live together. Same apartment. Youth pastor on the right is a sodomite. Sometimes you can just tell. But I watched the video. He calls himself a celibate homosexual. I don't believe him. I don't believe a word he says. Why would anybody in their right mind put their 12-year-old son under that boy's care? You're an idiot. You're as reprobate as he is. You think he's not going to touch your son. Youth pastor on the right is straight. Now, they live together. So what vine? And they're talking about how they get along. They're both Presbyterian youth pastors, and they just get along. And life's so great. What vine is that? That's easy. Vine of Sodom. Now, I'm going to run through these two clips quickly to show you what I'm going to talk about. Slain Oklahoma pastor, David Evans. I talked to his Bible college professor. I know him. I won't tell you his name. I asked him, I said, did you know David Evans? In case you haven't heard, this was Free Will Baptist, Ada Church, what was it? Hope Free Will Baptist Church in Ada, Oklahoma. Former pastor, Kavanaugh Free Will Baptist Church, Fort Smith, Arkansas. And when I first saw the picture, see, I went to Bible college with some guys, you could just tell they wasn't preacher material. And I thought maybe that's what they had, some guy loose head, because I knew some guys like that. And little bitty churches, that's the only kind of preacher they could get, so they'd hire these guys. And I kind of thought maybe that's who it was. Then I looked into it. No. At least two stable churches they pastored. Now, I didn't say they were right. I didn't say they were wrong. Bible college graduate, two stable churches. And I asked his Bible college professor, what was he like when he was in Bible college? He said he was a good guy. Remember the young prophet? The court documents. You have to imagine, you have to understand, when the court says something and releases it to the press, they've investigated it. So, and I've tried every way possible to disprove what I'm going to tell you. But according to the court documents, as far back as about 3 or 4 months ago, him and his wife and another man in a motel room. That's all I'm going to say. Multiple times. Then, unbeknownst to the pastor, David Evans, his wife and the other guy are plotting this man's murder. She said, he calls me names, he hates me, he's mean to me. Gave the other guy her husband's gun. He went on a trip, mission trip to Mexico. And when he come back, he's laying in his bed. She left the back door unlocked. The guy snuck in, parked a 45 in his brain pan, and the wife held on for I don't know how long, and finally she admitted. And I can imagine that the OSBI, Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigations, got involved in this. So I can imagine they went to the motel, found the receipts, security cam video, to prove the story. So here's the question. Now, I watched some of his sermons online. Sure enough, blacked out congregation, NIV, he's in his jeans, shirts untucked. You know, we can picture guys like that, right? And he says, now, I'll be preaching out of the NIV today. Okay, we can go, yeah, Vine of Sodom. Probably true. However, have we not had not the same story, but similar out of our own camp? Have we, Mike? Yes. Pastors that went bad and stayed. Never. And they were all King James. So, number one, don't you dare look at the other people and say, they ain't got what we got. I'll tell you that right now. Bless God, we're King James. Because it's happened. So, your question is, what is it that causes a pastor to end this way? Well, we saw from the Bible. Could be the fruit of the vine of Sodom. It could be a strong belief that his sin will not find him out, which is easy. It's what the devil tells us, Jamie, right here. A disbelief, you can say King James, but not be reading it for yourself. You can be in a ministry and give it out, but not for you. Pastors, the condemnations and the warnings in this book are not just for our congregations. Right. They're for us first. Right. or he's a bastard. What is that word? Hebrews 12. He refused the chastening. Now, I prayed, and I did, and I told this pastor that sent me the article. I'm praying. And while he was in Mexico, God got a hold of him. And if God did, he's innocent. And his wife blew his brains out, had his brains blew out. But how would you like to die and nobody know where you went? That's his testimony. Whether he confessed or not, his forever, and that church is destroyed now. Who's going to invite anybody to that church? The whole town knows about it. The whole state of Oklahoma. It was in the New York Post. The whole country knows that guy. Blew it. Why? That's only a question that you have to ask yourself if you're involved in something you shouldn't be. Now, let me show you, when I mention not believing what God said, I will say the NIV took out of 54 occurrences of the word hell, the NIV only has the word hell in there 13 times. They took it out and replaced it. Look what they replaced it with. Grave, 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 grave. Hades, grave, grave. Sounds like Jehovah's Witness. Doesn't it? By the way, New King James, same thing. Well, it's just like King James. Just like the old prophet said to the young prophet, I'm a prophet just like you. But he lied, didn't he? I mean, after all, by the way, God's name Jehovah, taken out 7 times in every Bible but the King James. What is Sheol? Who said hell? Could you go down to VFW Hall down here, this tavern up here over at Walmart, and say, the Bible warns you about going to Sheol? And would they know what in the world you're talking about? But you could say the word hell, and they know what it is. Every redneck in Arkansas knows what hell is because they know they're going. That's why you're preaching to them, amen? And they say, let us swallow them up alive like Sheol. And that's out of the New King James. How can you preach hell when they don't know what that is? You have to tell them. Now, that means hell. And if you have to tell them, and they're reading it at home, they're never going to believe it. Hell removed 22 times, replaced with Sheol, grave, or Hades. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades were delivered up. Did you know Hades was actually the god of the underworld? And the place of the underworld was named after the god Hades, not the other way around. Now, let me tell you what the NIV has done, because I caught on to this, because I put together a presentation when I first started doing this stuff back in 2000. And I used the NIV that was around then, Brother Lonnie, and I would show people, here's the King James, here's the NIV. So I went to redo that presentation, and I looked online at the NIV, and some of the verses had changed. And I went, what happened? Then I found out that the original New Testament NIV came out in 1973. The complete NIV, Old and New Testament, came out in 1978. However, in 1984, they revised it. Then they revised it again in 1996. They came out with the gender neutral version. They tried to sell that in America. America wouldn't have it in 96. But TV took care of that. And politicians. So then they revised it again in 1996 to make it on a third grade reading level, revised it again called the TNIV in 2005, and then revised it again in 2011. And what you have now in 2011 is the gender neutral version of 1996. See how the devil did it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 changes in the NIV alone since it came out. Now, how can you preach doctrine and truth from a book that changes. How can you preach an unchanging God? And let me show you the two manuscript lines. Majority text, the Textus Receptus, basis for the King James, the Nestle-Aulon Greek text, based upon the Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. So here is Stephan's Textus Receptus and the Nestle-Aulon Greek text up here, right here. This is like the King James and this is the vine of Christ, vine of Sodom. Here's the wheat. Here's the tares right here. So you have Westcott and Hort, who didn't believe a word of the Bible, putting together a new manuscript. Then a man, I won't get into all that, a man by the name of Kurtulan, and let's see. Kurtulan's 1963 continuation of the Nestle Greek text from 1898. So a guy by the name of Eberhard Nestle took COVID fog. Westcott and Hort's New Testament manuscript and made a new Greek text back in 1898. A German scholar by the name of Kurtulan took it over in 1963. It is the Greek text that every modern Bible translation in any language, including, we found out in Kenya, the Swahili. I found out, and I preached it to them, and they got mad. That hurt them when they found out that their Swahili Bible called Jesus a son of the gods in Daniel 3:25. They never saw it before. And I'll never forget Brother Colonzo. God bless that man. He said, I realize I've been preaching from a book for 20 years, but I've not been preaching from the Word of God. And we handed out every Bible we had, didn't we? So, the Nestle-Aulon Greek text is in its 28th change. Which means 28 times they've gone through and changed the Greek text that underlies the New Testament. They're working on the 29th now with a new committee. So, this led David Park, United Bible Society, to say this. The text is changing. Every time that I make an addition of the Greek New Testament, or anybody does, we change the wording. Does the wording matter? Does your land deed matter? Does your tax forms matter? Does the tax code wording matter? Does your marriage certificate wording matter? Does your DNA matter? Then the Bible matters. We changed the wording. We are maybe trying to get back to the oldest possible form, but paradoxically, we are creating, listen to what he says, a new one. Every translation is different. Every reading is different. And although there's been a tradition in parts of Protestant Christianity to say that there is a definitive single form of the text, that would be me. I believe there is a definitive form of the Word of God. Amen. That's me. He's talking about me. And you. The fact is, you can never find it. That's a lie. Amen. There is never, ever a final form of the text. It's Plato. One day, Plato. This is how I see God making snakes. Right? They're easy. When you start making a house, that's when it gets hard. But you can take the Play-Doh and make it anything you want to. And every preacher does, practically. In every church, in every place in the world, practically every preacher turns it into what they want. I got 13 minutes. Let's run through this very quickly. This is why I believe what I believe. Three doctrines: inspiration, preservation, translation. Go. Can I believe that my Bible is 100% correct in every subject and every word? Is that doctrine even biblical? Or is it just the emotional connection to a book that has errors? Because when I was at the Piccirilli conference, King James guy stood up, tears in their eyes. I said, brother, you're talking about the Bible we preach out of. Brother, you're talking about the Bible our denomination was started on. Brother, you're talking about the Bible we soul went on. Crying. And I was laughing at him. Idiots. God still beat me over that. He has never let me forget that. What do scholars, they say you're just emotional. You're just emotionally tied to a book that you think is the Bible, but it's not really. So let's beat them. Let's beat them, all right? Number one, inspiration of the original manuscripts. All scripture, this is the Bible. It's not me, this is the Bible. All scripture. How much scripture?
All.
Is present tense, right now, given by inspiration of God. That means God breathes every time you read it and believe it. See, you can be Alexander Scorby and read the whole thing on tape and not believe a word of it, die and go to hell. You have to believe it. For reproof, for correction, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God breathed. They always told me now in the original Greek, the word meant God breathed. Well, the word inspiration of God means the same thing. Inspiration is where we get spira, breath, spirit. Respiration is what we had a hard time doing when we had COVID. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Same word, theopneustos. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of, when they say, well, the Bible's just written by men. No, holy men. Amen. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This came down from heaven just as sure as the manna did. Yes. Came down from heaven. This is how it happened. Jeremiah, God said, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. And he said, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. This is Jeremiah. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. Amen. So the words that Jeremiah said came out of God's own hand. What happened to Ezekiel? Ezekiel had a roll of a book handed to him with lamentations and mourning and woes. And he said, Ezekiel, eat this book. And he said, now go preach. Preachers, eat that book before you get behind the pulpit. The Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Why? A memorial in a book is so that when we transmit it from one person, if you were to go out of here today and say, boy, you should have heard Jamie Doyle preach. Let me tell you every word that he preached. Could you do it? I just remember like five things you said. Gone. Gone. Yeah, me too. Gone. God knew not to trust man's memory or oral tradition, they call it, because it gets changed. He said, write it down so nobody can alter it. And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words. Isaiah 8:1, more of the Lord said unto me, take thee a great roll and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mareshal Hashbaz. Name your kid that. Isaiah 38, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book. Why? That it may be for the time to come, forever and ever, God said that. So this is what the original manuscripts would look like if we had them. We don't. Because they get handed back and forth. Your old Bible that you don't bring church anymore. Why? It's falling apart. What is it they say? Bible falling apart belongs to a saint who ain't. Amen. You pass the manuscripts around, they get tattered, so they had to copy them. So we have zero original manuscripts. Now, why did God allow those precious originals to disappear? Look what he said. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass. What is all flesh? Grass. And all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. What's going to happen to me when God's done with me? Now let me tell you what they wrote on. They wrote the originals on two formats. One was called papyrus. They took a reed, it's a thick one, out of the swamps. And it was in layers. You know how grass is in layers? And they took it and they split that reed and they took those layers out and they wove them together and they laid them out and dried. That's where we get the word paper from, the word papyrus. So they would write on grass. Or they would take an animal, like sheep, anything, take the thin skin off of it, lay it out and do whatever they do to dry it. That was called vellum. That's flesh. So the original Bible was written on grass and flesh. And what did God say? All flesh is, and the flower fadeth, the grass withereth. But the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. So God said, watch this to the original manuscripts, because he knows the Catholic Church take them and they'd all be bowing to them and worshiping them and hide them away somewhere so nobody could find them. So he went, blew them away like dry grass in August. But he copied them. So now we get into preservation. Out of the 66 books from 40 authors, not a single original manuscript survives. And this is what Peter said. Peter quoted Isaiah when he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass and all... See, he's quoting the same thing to tell you this. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You cannot have the original gospel without the original words of that gospel. And he's telling you the whole Bible is the gospel. Amen. How did Philip lead the Ethiopian eunuch to Christ? Yep. Isaiah 53. The Old Testament. Did he have an original? He had a copy. The gospel is in Isaiah 53. And he read it to him all the way back 2,000 years ago. We're going to meet that man in heaven one of these days. Amen. Do you think God is not capable of keeping every word for us now? Amen. Sure he is. I'm tired. Isaiah 30 verse 8, go write it before them in a table. Already read that verse. Preservation. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Thy testimonies are very sure. Psalm 117, for his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Luke 4, Jesus answered that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. We must have every word of God. Incorruptible. 1 Peter 1:25, 2 John 1, 2, for the truth's sake, which dwells in us and shall be with us for how long? Forever. This is Bible preservation. Daniel said, I will show thee what is noted in the scripture of truth, saying that if it's scripture, what is it? What did Paul use? All scripture. What's he saying? It's all truth. Yeah. Amen. I got to move past that. I'm wore out. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. If it's scripture, it is inspired. Acts chapter 2. On Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 2, what'd they do? They all spake with tongues. Now, we don't believe they went, Hallelujah. We don't believe that, do we? What'd they speak? Well, he lists them here. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia in Egypt, parts of Libya, about Cyrene, strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, 17 different languages there. And it wasn't that they were speaking some unknown foreign thing and people were hearing them. The disciples were speaking in their language and they had never known it before. That was the miracle of it. Now, here's where you get into translation, because we know a lot of guys that say we use the King James, but I'm not sure that a translation can be inspired. Here's how you can help them. I remember sharing this with you, Jamie, and you did flip-flops in your office. I thought, I was so happy to do that for you. You ought to see him do flip-flops. It's an amazing thing. Isaiah 28:11, for with stammering lips and another tongue will God speak to his people. Now think about what he said here. Who had stammering lips? Moses. Moses always represented the Old Testament. And then he said, another tongue will he speak to this people. So why now is the New Testament all written in a different language than Hebrew? Because God prophesied it. And here's what I believe. I believe he did it for a reason. You know, Hebrews tells us that with a change in the law comes a change in the tribe that Jesus came. He was not a Levite, yet he was a priest. So Hebrews tells us that because there's a change in the law and a change in the covenant, there's a change now in the mediator of that covenant. And I believe that God changed the language that that covenant was written in from Hebrew, which only the Jews would know, to Greek, which all the Gentiles would know. You see what he did? He changed this New Testament so that us boogerhead Gentiles would know what God said and be saved by it instead of just the Jews. Somebody say amen. Amen. So, when Paul quoted this verse, look what the Holy Ghost told him to say. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. I don't have it in here. Turn to 1 Corinthians 14. This is relevant. And I'm almost done. I got 2 minutes. You better turn fast. Let's see if you can turn your Bible faster than I can pass out up here. 1 Corinthians 14. What did he say when he quoted? He quoted Isaiah 28:11. Oh, I have it here. It is written, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. Isn't that interesting? Did Paul change the Bible? God expanded it. He had a right to. It's his word. It's his covenant, right? If you ever signed a contract with somebody, it's his covenant. He has a right to change it. So he said, now I'm going to expand it with men of other tongues. Not just one tongue. Other ones will I speak unto this people. So here's the rule. The rule is, and there are some, I've met some good Pentecostal preachers. I don't agree with them, but I know them, they're good. One guy told me, he said, Mike, we speak in tongues in our church, but it's all men. Because in the same chapter, it says, let your women be silent. Does it not? And then he says, it'll be one guy stand up, he'll sit down, another man stand up, maybe a third, and then it stops. And he said, I don't let it go on past that. And then one guy will stand and translate. Now, they told me that in Kenya. And God said, Mike, don't argue with them. They're quoting scripture. Now, I see it a different way than they do, but I ain't fight. They're not my enemy. They're not my enemy. But here's what I see. The Old Testament was written in two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic. New Testament in one language, Greek. So if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, Hebrew, Aramaic, and at the most three, and let one interpret, which means translate. So why would you go to a different Bible to find out only what you're going to find in one? And God proved it. Right here, this is how you can help your pastor friends who say, I use King James, I just have a problem believing it's inspired. Show them the verses where it's been preserved. Show them the verse now where God is the only one allowed to translate properly His Word. And I believe He did it right here.